Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Good. I'm excited to be here this morning to worship God with you and to learn more about Him through His Word. A couple of things that I wanted to talk about just before I deliver the message, though. I want to give you some encouragement. I want to give you some things that are happening at Morning Hour Chapel that I think are really kind of positive that you should know about as members, as people who attend the church. First of all, we had installed a new soundboard, which was a gift from, who gave that? Was that an anonymous gift? Okay, so we had an anonymous gift that allowed us to purchase a new soundboard, which is making it a lot easier to do things like hear us, like recording the sermons. We were having some trouble in September trying to get that put together, and on the website we just said technical difficulties, no sermons in September, and we've started posting them again, and I was listening to them for the last few weeks, and last week's sounded really good. So we've got some new equipment back there. We've got our praise team up and running. Thank you so much for leading us every Sunday morning in worship. We are just blessed to have you guys here. Blessed to have Ryan as our new pianist over the last several weeks. And we've started to level off as far as attendance. So our attendance is now hitting an average of about 45 people a week. I know it's a little lower than it was, say, in the spring right after Easter when everybody comes to church for a few weeks and then leaves again. We have that opportunity again for Christmas Eve, or, well, Christmas service this December. And even our Thanksgiving service next week, we have the opportunity to maybe invite some friends, invite some family to come along and enjoy a meal, and just tell them, you got to come to church first. come and hear a sermon and then go have a meal. But no, we have the opportunity to invite friends, to invite families. I heard of one gentleman in our congregation this past week who just made a decision that he was going to walk across the street and talk to a family that wasn't going to church and just inviting them to church. And I don't know if they're going to come. I don't know what's going to happen with that. But he has planted that seed. And somewhere along the way, if we believe the scripture, Paul said that he planted and Apollos watered and God gave the increase. So this gentleman planted the seed. And at some point, another person's going to come along and they're going to water that seed, or they're going to fertilize that seed a little bit. And then God's going to be able to use that work, that one step, to make that seed grow. So there are some exciting things happening in our congregation, and I really hope that you are able to see those things and experience those things. And eventually, as you feel comfortable, be a part of those things. Be a part of sharing that Morning Hour is here. We're not going anywhere. Come worship with us. Come learn with us. Come live the Christian life together with us. These are just exciting things that we can do as a congregation. And I want to say a special thank you for the leadership board, who has just worked tirelessly over the last several weeks. First, just trying to keep everything together. And now, as we have kind of gotten leveled off and we are starting to feel a little bit more comfortable, they're starting to do some actual, like, good work towards moving the church to where we want it to be. I want to say a special thank you to the deacons of the church. I understand that the deacons are in constant contact with families who might not even attend the church anymore, or who might attend once a month, or once every 2 months, but they're reaching out. They're letting these people know that they are loved. They're letting these people know that they are welcomed. And I would ask you to pray for our leadership. I would ask you to pray for our deacons as they are doing the work of God in this church. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, we are continuing this morning in the sermon series that we started 5 weeks ago. I can't believe I've been here that long. But 5 weeks ago, we started talking about this idea of first things first. And what we've been doing is we've been studying through the great commandment that we find in Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 31. And if you want to open this morning to Mark chapter 12 in your Bible, Or if you want to click on it in your Bible app, we're going to go ahead and we're going to read Mark 12, 28 to 31. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." And over the past several weeks, we've been unpacking our word suitcases. For those of you who have been here, you've seen my word suitcases. And we've been unpacking these ideas of what it means to love God with all of our heart. And we called the heart the seat of our emotions. And then we talked about loving God with all of our soul, the soul being the seat of our will, the thing that makes us able to make conscious decisions about the things that we're doing so that we're not ruled by our animal heart. And last week we looked at the mind, the intellect, our intelligence, and how we can and should love God thoughtfully. We spoke a little bit even about pondering and questioning our beliefs, because when we question our beliefs, that should drive us back to Scripture. That should drive us back to a place where we are studying God's Word to confirm or maybe to adjust the things that we believe based on what is in the Bible. Last week, we also learned that strength and mind are kind of the two things that go together, right? Like peanut butter and jelly or Reese's peanut butter cups. They just kind of fit together because, Christian or not, those are the things we understand the most. Because they are measurable. We can observe. We can measure results of what we do. We can measure results of the things that we learn, right? In school, we used to take tests, and then we used to forget all of the stuff that was on the tests because we didn't care about it anymore. But we could measure the things that we had learned, at least short term. We could measure our strength. We could measure our health and our fitness. We can do all of these things, and those measurements can provide answers about our body and some of the answers about our minds, although some of us I'm not so sure about. But today we are going to focus on loving God with all of our strength. Now, when you think of strength, what do you think of? Some people think of some huge muscle-bound guy or girl lifting like really heavy things, like this guy. This guy is British weightlifter Eddie Hall. Eddie Hall is 6'3", so he's my height. He weighs 401 pounds. Most of it muscle, as you can see. He competes in strongman competitions around the world, and he currently is the world record holder of something called the deadlift. His record is 500 kilograms. Now, for those of you who took the test about kilograms in school and then forgot everything, it's about 1,102 pounds. Watch this. We don't need the sound. It's just people cheering really loudly. But take a look at this guy. That is 1,104 pounds that he is getting ready to lift. Now, according to the rules, he has to lift it and then he has to hold it. I think it's for 5 seconds. And that's what he did. Just for reference, a grand piano weighs about 990 pounds. So basically, this guy could deadlift a grand piano with a 120-pound person attached to it or sitting on top of it. That's how strong this guy is. But that's nothing. That is absolutely nothing. What about this guy? Interesting thing about ants, they can lift and carry somewhere between 10 and 50 times their own weight. There are some studies that have shown that certain ants can withstand pressure of up to 5,000 times their weight on their neck joints. Which is why when you step on an ant and you walk away, nothing happens. He just goes. If you ever want to think about how insignificant your strength is, think about an ant carrying this stick. I would have to personally be able to lift and carry 3,000 to 15,000 pounds to match the weight that an ant could carry. God is awesome, isn't he? One of the tiniest creatures is one of the strongest. Now, sometimes when we think about strength, we don't think about the weightlifter, we don't think about the ant, we think about this guy. Right? We talked about this guy last week, Superman. Strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Now, these are pictures of Superman from the 30s and 40s. That's the 1930s and 40s. I know I'm going to have to start changing that in like 10 years. But the 30s and 40s, this is what Superman looked like. He's definitely changed a little bit over the years. This is what Superman looks like in some of our comics today. Now, I can't put my finger on it. But there's just something a little bit different between these two pictures. I can't quite tell what it is. Can you? New Superman certainly puts a different emphasis on what strength looks like, right? Because we can just have a regular kind of, you know, average-looking guy lifting a car, and that looks like strength. But now we have to have him look like this. Right? Eddie Hall doesn't even look like this. Nobody on Earth looks like this. Nobody even from other planets looks like this, just in case you're wondering. But what about us? What about regular people? How do we exhibit our strength? Some of us, we play sports. We run or we cycle or play soccer, volleyball. Anybody play sports kind of just informally? No, not anybody used to play sports a little bit, right? So I used to be able to actually run. Can you imagine? I used to be able, my wife and I, back when we first got married, we were living down in Baltimore, we actually signed up and started training to run a marathon. Oh yes, I could run or jog and then walk a lot and then jog a little more and walk a lot more and then just walk and finally crawl. But I used to be able to run. I used to be able to go out and throw around the football with my kids or the baseball or do whatever, play soccer in the yard. And then I slipped a disc over the summer and all of that was just out the window. But even before I slipped the disc and can now use that as an excuse for why I don't go out and exercise, I wasn't really good at anything. I could throw the football, 20, 30 yards, right? And we watch NFL football and they're throwing the ball like 60 yards down the field and perfect spiral and can target some, all this fun stuff that I can't do. I can't run anymore. I don't cycle. I hate cycling. It's just, it hurts in areas and I just don't do that anymore. Talking about my rear end. It's just not fun. But why can't I do those things? And because I'm fat is not an answer. It's unkind, but it is truthful. But I can't do those things, and I can't do them well because I don't train my body to do them. I don't discipline my arms and my legs, and I don't train them to perform the tasks necessary to be successful in any of these sports because I don't care. I don't care how I play the sport. I just like going out and throwing the football around with my kids. I don't care if I get a touchdown in an NFL game or not. I'm just having fun. When I was younger, I'm going to get away from sports a little bit because we talk a lot about sports. But when I was younger, I was very interested in doing something that took a lot of muscle control. I used to be a drummer. This was not my kit. This was my dream, but it was not my kit. And I spent a lot of time learning how to play the drums. I would go to lessons. I'd have like an hour lesson every week, and then he'd tell me, you got to practice an hour a day. And I would practice for hours, and my mother loved it. That's why she moved into the basement and put my drums in the attic, because she loved it so much. But in the case of drumming, there's a specific set of things that you start off practicing with. These are called rudiments. And there are like 40 rudiments that you practice. It's just different ways of playing with your hands, not even incorporating your feet yet, but just different ways to move your hands so that you can make appropriate drum sounds. Also helps you to learn how to read music so that when you're playing along with other people, you're playing what they're wanting to hear from the drummer. And the point of practicing these rudiments is to develop muscle memory. That's what it's called. So when we practice something where we need to move our muscles in a specific way all the time, we practice those movements so that we build muscle memory. My son plays the viola, and one of the things that they teach him is how to hold the bow and how to hold the viola and how to move the bow across the strings so that it sounds the way that it's supposed to sound. And he's supposed to practice every day. I am trying to remember the last time I heard the viola played in my house. But I know that he does practice almost every day at school, so he gets a pass. And if you want to hear him play, sometime in December, he's got his Christmas concert, and I'll let you know about that so we can have lots of people. But if you play a musical instrument, or if you play a sport, or if you paint, or if you do math, or if you do science, or if you do anything, really, and you want to do it well, you know that you have to spend a lot of time practicing. And when you spend time practicing how to do that thing well, you sacrifice a lot of other things. My wife loves to talk about this idea of a best yes. Because every time we say yes to one thing, we say no to everything else. At least for that period of time. And when we're practicing, when we are trying to become an expert at doing something, sometimes it means we have to give up our friends for a while. I can't go out with you, I have to practice. I can't come out and play, I have to practice. Sometimes it means putting your body through some extreme unpleasantness. I don't know if you know this or not, but musicians, especially guitarists and drummers and string instrumentalists, end up bleeding from practicing so much, and they develop these calluses on their hands and on their fingers. And even drummers, because as you get better and you're holding those drums, you hold this drum right here, or the stick, and you're playing and playing and playing and practicing, that rubs raw. And you build a callus over it so that you can actually continue to play and you can't feel it anymore and it won't bleed anymore. Ballet dancers. Anybody know anybody that does ballet? The best ballet dancers in the world have the absolutely worst looking feet you have ever seen in your lives. Because as they practice on point for hours and hours and hours a day, they lose toenails. They develop these calluses on their toes and on their feet. And they do it because they want to do it well. That's the sacrifice that we're talking about. And what does this mean when it comes to living our faith? What does it mean when it comes to loving God with all our strength? 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually." And this is just like the start. This is just the start of where we get some of our ideas of how faith is about strength. seek the Lord and His strength. We look at 2 Corinthians in the New Testament. Chapter 12, verse 10, "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And he goes on to talk about where his strength comes from. His strength comes from the Lord. Loving God with all of our strength is biblical. And God tells us to do that. And Jesus preaches about this being part of the great commandment because it is the most visible way that we can show a person who doesn't know Christ who Christ is. God wants us to demonstrate our love for Him. When we love Him with our heart, that's something internal. When we love Him with our soul, that's something internal. When we love Him with our mind, when we learn about Him, when we learn what it is that He wants us to do, that's internal. And it all builds up to this idea of loving God with our strength. God wants us to use our heart and our soul and our knowledge and every talent that He has given us. Every muscle in our body, every resource that He has provided to love Him and to build His kingdom. And loving with all your strength requires sacrifice. It just does. It means sacrificing to be the best for God that you can be, just like dancers and musicians and athletes and scientists and mathematicians. Practice over and over and over again. Sometimes doing the same thing thousands of times. I've had it asked of me as a pastor. I've had leaders come to me. I've had deacons come to me and ask, how do we keep taking care of these people who feel like, it just feels like they're so not interested. It feels like they're so apathetic. It feels like they just don't care. And I call them, and I call them, and I visit, and I write notes, and I send cards, and it just gets so exhausting. How do I keep doing it? You keep doing it with all your strength. Because what you are doing is you are planting the seed, or you are watering a seed that has already been planted. We cannot give up. Because we have brothers and sisters in this world that are sacrificing more than just a phone call, or more than just a note, or more than just a meal that we cook and take over to somebody's house. Some of our brothers and sisters in Christ are sacrificing with their lives. If you follow the news at all, you know that in countries like Turkey and Egypt and Syria and China, if it's discovered that you are a Christian, you are at the very least persecuted every single day. Some of you are put into prison, tortured. Some of them are led out to a seashore and lined up and executed because of their faith. Sacrifice. We have not, to my knowledge yet, in the United States, been asked to make those kinds of sacrifices. They may be coming, I don't know. That's why I don't put a lot of faith in my government, I put my faith in God. But even if we're not asked to make those sacrifices, there are sacrifices that we can and that we should make. Sometimes we need to sacrifice our time. Sometimes we need to sacrifice our resources. Sometimes we need to give up some things. We need to make some decisions about certain activities maybe in our lives that are not bringing glory to God. They're not necessarily bad in and of themselves. Watching TV is not necessarily bad in and of itself, depending on what you're watching. But if you're watching 5 hours of TV a night and then you come up and tell me that you don't have time to read your Bible, I'm going to have some questions. Sometimes we need to give up some things. Sometimes we need to get rid of things that aren't bringing glory to God. Things that are just laying around even in our house. Maybe we need to sacrifice our own desires because they don't bring glory to God. What those things are in your life are not for me to decide. If you want some help, I'll sit down, I'll talk to you. We can talk about what your life looks like. We can talk about the things that you do and the things that you don't do, and I can give you some advice. And you might or might not take it. But you have to make the decision. You have to be the one to choose, what is it that I'm going to value? What is it that I'm going to want to achieve? If I want to achieve the world record for binge watching Netflix, I'll binge watch a lot of Netflix. If I want to become the best Christian that I can become, if I want to help build God's kingdom, I might have to give Netflix up for a while. But those things are up to you to decide. You should be reading and studying God's word to decide those things that are in your life that make little sense to be doing when your goal is to please and honor God. And you have to make those decisions. Pray. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. But you get to make those decisions. And that's all I'm going to say about that for now. You can come and talk to me later if you want to actually have a conversation. That would be fine. Finally, and most importantly, we love God with all of our strength because God is love. We love God with all of our strength because He is our strength. We love God with all of our strength because He is our power. And He gives us this power, and He gives us this strength, and He gives us the ability to love Him, to love our neighbors, and to love ourselves. God gives us all of these things because He loves us. It is up to us to love Him with all of our strength. Are you a 98-pound spiritual weakling, getting spiritual sand kicked into your face? How many of you remember those commercials, the 98-pound weakling, right? Maybe you feel that you have nothing to offer God. And we have lots of excuses why we don't think we have anything to offer God. Oh, I'm not really that strong of a Christian. I'm old. I'm young. A lot of things. Maybe you feel you have nothing to offer to the church. Well, I can't sing and I can't lead and I don't have talent with flowers. I don't cook. So really, what can I do? Maybe you feel like you have nothing to offer to the world. If you feel that you have nothing to offer to God, if you feel that you have nothing to offer to the church or to your neighbors, or to the world, those are lies. Those are lies that are not to be believed. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, you are somebody, and you have immense strength. You have immense power. You don't believe me? Listen to the words of the prophet Isaiah. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Already we're talking about the love of God. We're talking about the strength of God. We're talking about the mind of God, just in this one portion of the passage. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall feel exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, creator of the ends of the earth. He created you, He created me, and He gives us power. Even when we are faint, even when we are weary, even when we are weak. Let me change that. Especially when we are weak, especially when we are weary, especially when we faint, God gives us strength. Will you know? Will you hear? Will you wait upon the Lord? Will you allow Him to renew your strength? We are Almighty, whose God is the Lord. Will you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for this day. We thank You for this creation. We thank You that You've created each of us. Father, sometimes we feel no strength at all. We feel sometimes that we have nothing to give. Sometimes it's our own feelings of worth. Sometimes it's that we've been doing this for so long, we don't know how to continue. Father, remind us to wait for You. Remind us. Let us hear. Let us know who You are, that You do not faint, that You do not grow weary, that You are our strength. Let us trust in the Holy Spirit, the power that raised Jesus Christ, Your Son, from the dead, the Spirit that now lives in us. Let us trust in that power. Let us trust that that power will give us strength to love You with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Thank You for not abandoning us to powerlessness. Thank You for not letting us faint and not giving us a way to get up again. Father, I pray is that we continue discovering what it is that You want to do with this church. That You will give each of us strength. That You will show us how we show others who You are. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As the praise team comes up to lead us in a final song, next week we're going to look at loving God with each of these components, heart, soul, mind, and strength, and how those things work together as we love God and as we love our neighbors. I want to invite you to invite your neighbors, to invite your friends, to invite your family if they don't come to church. They don't really want to come, like I said earlier. Tell them there's a meal involved. They might be a little bit more malleable. They might be a little more willing. We'll have a good meal ready for them. We'll have a good message ready for them. Wait upon the Lord this week and see if He will not increase your strength. And when He does, love Him with all your strength. God bless you this week.